The journal Science is reporting this week on a study that may have found a genetic link to obesity. Research that may explain why some people pack on pounds, others eat all they want and don't. The lead author says it could really change the way we think about the disease. Of course, there are other reasons people gain weight, and many are. 2/3 of Americans are obese or overweight. The American Medical Association just classified obesity a disease, like alcoholism. And many hope that means obesity will be viewed through the same prism. That obesity will be treated, but also that there will be a recognition that it can tear families apart. What must it be like to watch a loved one eat himself to death, to see other people look at him with disdain? If you don't already know, you'll find out in Lionel Shriver's new sharp-as-attack novel, Big Brother. It's infused with discussion of weight and what we eat. Pandora is a caterer, her husband obsessed with being thin. She idolizes her brother Edison, the beautiful former high school track star. But when he comes to visit her in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, she picks up a man who's ballooned to 400 pounds.
It took some doing to get the front passenger seat of our Camry to go back to the last notch. Climbing inside, Edison braced one hand on the door. I worried whether the hinges could take the stress. I'd have helped him myself, but I didn't think he could lean on me without us both collapsing. He lowered himself into the bucket seat with the delicacy of a giant crane maneuvering haulage from a container ship. When he dropped the last few inches, the chassis tilted to the right. His knees jammed the glove compartment, and I had to give his door an extra oomph to get it shut.
And that's one of the prettier descriptions of Edison in Big Brother, an exploration not only of obesity and food, but how far we can go to rescue family without drowning ourselves. And as we'll hear, this is a very personal story. Author Lionel Shriver joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. Welcome.
Pleased to talk to you.
What a read. And we found the 2009 article you wrote in The Guardian about your own brother. It was titled, "My Brother is Eating Himself to Death."
Well, I lost my brother to the complications of morbid obesity. And if it were just my family's problem, I don't know that I would necessarily have made a novel from that experience. But in that it's also a larger social problem and a problem for many other families, I thought it was worth writing about.
And you write with such knowledge. Tell us about Edison. Who did you want us to see?
I want you to see someone who's started his life with a lot of potential and who most of his life has been quite slim, and then something happened. And you need to unravel what.
And he's filled with these contradictions. It's not just that he's overweight, but he's overbearing at times. He is full of himself. He's a braggart.
He's one of those people, and I've met any number of them in my life, who broadcast an enormous amount of information, but they use language to keep people at bay. So they're constantly coming up with factual things to say, but you don't learn any more about them or how they feel.
Yeah. And he leaves a wake as he visits your character Pandora and her family in Iowa. A mattress cratered like a half-dug grave, a through-the-roof food bill, broken furniture. He's like a living metaphor for an oversized ego, but also an oversized person. And yet Pandora adores him.
Well, I think that's very common in this birth order thing, that you look up to your older siblings, especially when it's the other gender. You want to attribute your older siblings with heroic qualities. And therefore, when they let you down, that conflicts with this larger-than-life picture you've got of them. And one of the arcs of the novel is Pandora, little by little, trying to let go of this almost worship of her older brother in order to actually get to know him.
That might be towards the end of the arc, but before that, she wants to fix him. She wants to save him. To the extent that...
Always a dangerous thing to want to do.
Yeah, with anyone. And to the extent that she's willing to sacrifice her own family. But in her family, we also see, it seems like everybody has food issues. Her husband is the other side of the coin. What would that be?
She calls him a nutritional Nazi. That is, he's always coming up with a new food group that he will no longer touch. And since she used to be a caterer, and in the early years of their marriage, he loved her food, you know, and it was one of the things that she wooed him with. And then when he turns on her famous lasagna and cornbread, she feels that it's a personal rejection. And I think that's quite realistic. I think women in particular often battle the feeling that if you don't like our food, then you don't like us.
Tell us more about what you're saying about food, how people use it, all these subtle things that are going on, far more subtle than Edison, who's so obvious.
Well, we've started to use food a lot to define our identity, among other things. For example, I can't count the number of people I've met who tell me that they have one food allergy or another. And it, according to the research on the matter, 4/5 of these people don't have anything whatsoever wrong with them. And I think it's because we latch on to these little special problems we've got with food to get people to pay attention to us, to be special. We also attach a lot of moral qualities to food and certainly to our weight. We consider heavy people to have somehow failed themselves in more than nutritional and health terms, but it seems to be giving away a weakness of character. And I'm a little distressed, for example, the degree to which we berate ourselves, often for very small amounts of weight gain, as if so much more were at stake. I mean, obviously, if you're hundreds of pounds overweight, then it's a health issue. But I think that far before you get to that point, you tend to interpret it as a character failing, as having let yourself down.
That's Lionel Shriver. Her new book is Big Brother. It mirrors her own brother's death from morbid obesity. We're going to have more.
And I'm sure a lot of listeners, Robin, are going to have responses to this, personal stories. We'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org. Just a quick check of another story we're following. There's been another round of layoffs for Chicago public schools. More than 2,000 employees are getting pink slips, including 1,000 teachers. More on that later on All Things Considered. More of Robin's conversation is next, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we're speaking with author Lionel Shriver. Known for taking clear-eyed looks at difficult subjects, she's the author of the bestseller We Have to Talk About Kevin. That was about a mother grappling with the fact that her son was a mass shooter. In Lionel's new novel, Big Brother, a sister tries to save her brother from obesity. It's a tender story that reflects her own. Her brother died of morbid obesity. She wrote about it in an op-ed piece in The Guardian before he died. And Lionel Shriver, your book is also about how we view people, how more than their gender, their clothing. You say we make these interpretations, these assumptions about people based on their weight.
They're ridiculous, not just what we think of the heavy, but even very, very thin people. We have a whole other set of assumptions. They are withholding and uptight and judgmental and joyless.
Prone to an unconscious apartheid, instinctively partial to the company of their own withered kind. Stick figures. Lionel Shriver, tell us, how much of what we are reading in the book was you as a sister trying to find out more about weight and obesity?
I didn't want to turn the novel into some kind of therapy session for me. I mean, I tried to make the brother in the novel quite different in some ways from my real brother. The more you make up, the easier it is to sort things through in a way that is not only useful for the author, but useful for the reader, because after all, the reader is the point.
Yeah. I'm reading, for instance, a section here where the sister, Pandora, after she decides to move out of her home and move in with her brother and for a year-long project where she's going to make him lose weight, she goes online to see the types of diets. There's chicken soup, grapefruit, lemonade, potato chip diets, cookie diets, The Zone, Ducon, Weight Watchers, Scarsdale, South Beach. After 3 hours of looking, she felt soiled.
My favorite was the cigarette diet.
Is there really such a thing?
Yeah, all those are real.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't believe the air diet. I thought that had something to recommend it.
Well, they go on a diet that is essentially a liquid diet, packets of this powdery thing. As we say, you set it in Iowa, where the characters also talk about a crystal meth epidemic. And it quickly becomes clear that there's something about addiction that's going on here, too. They get addicted to their dieting.
Yes, I think you can get addicted to dieting. In fact, that becomes one of the perils of the project, is fulfilling it. If Edison does finally drop all the weight he wants to, he will have nothing left to do. I think that's one of the reasons that people often gain the weight right back, is that it's all very goal-oriented, and it's exciting to meet your goal, but when the goal is met, there's nothing to do.
Yeah. You also really illustrate beautifully how Pandora, who's trying to save her brother, they have that saying in 12-step groups, you know, no, don't try to save someone else unless you've got your own life jacket. A drowning person will drown you. I mean, we're not going to give away the endings, but it just about happens. Was that your experience too?
I would say that I'm personally a little suspicious of this whole intervention business. I don't think it's very easy to take on other people's problems, especially when it comes to problems of addiction, and in some ways food can be an addiction. There's no substitute for that person deciding that they're going to solve that problem themselves.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, is that from your own personal experience? I can't help but go back to this 2009 Guardian article. It is heartbreaking in retrospect because you write how you're worried you're never going to see him again, how every time you talk to your brother, you wonder if it's the last time. And in fact, he died right after you wrote this article.
That was a column I wrote on the Fat Pride movement, of which I was a little skeptical. And I was using my brother as an example of someone that I wasn't sure could be called healthy at any size. That's one of their little aphorisms. And I went ahead and discussed his situation as respectfully as I could in journalism. But I expressed concern that his health was sufficiently perilous that I wasn't entirely sure that I would see him 3 months later when I had planned to show up in Raleigh where he lived. And the very afternoon I filed that column, I got a phone call from my parents that my brother was in hospital. And he never got out. So 10 days after that column was filed, my brother died. And indeed, when I went to Raleigh on my author's tour, he wasn't there.
Yeah. I guess, so what are you saying? You so loved him, obscenely smart. You say the fact that he was fat isn't altogether his fault. You talk about some things that happened in his family, but he does eat too much. You say you have buckets of sympathy for the obese because they're subject to cruelty and ridicule. But what? Is there anger, too? Is there
disappointment on everyone's behalf? There were a number of things contributing to his weight gain. He had a couple of severe accidents that left him barely able to walk. That makes me understand that there must be many contributing factors, both psychological and sometimes medical, to other obese patients and why they ended up gaining that weight.
But as you quote a doctor saying in the article, and then you quote him again in the book, the doctor said, I don't have any old fat patients. It sounds like you're saying, you know, please try to do something about this.
Well, it's true that that's why I wrote that initial column, that I didn't buy the healthy at any size line, because I had seen up close how many different health problems my brother had. You know, he had diabetes, he had circulatory problems, he had high blood pressure, he had swelling in his feet so bad that he often couldn't get his boots on. So I don't know whether the AMA saying that obesity is a disease is that helpful, but I do think that at least that says, no, you can't be healthy in any size. This is a disorder, and your body doesn't work as well when you're carrying a huge amount of fat. On the other hand, I would like us to start distinguishing between the aesthetic and the medical. And I think that in this culture, we get them confused. It's one thing to say, you know, if your BMI is over 30, then you're going to be in better health if you've dropped some weight. But it's quite another to say, you know, if your BMI is over 30, you're unsightly, and I don't want to look at you. It's worth asking, why is it that most people lose weight? The weird thing is that as much as we talk about health all the time, the real reason most people go on diets is to look better. And I really think we have to separate these issues out again. It's one thing to say someone who's very heavy has imperiled their health. but it's another to say, we don't like the way you look.
That's Lionel Shriver. Her terrific new novel is Big Brother. Lionel, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I really enjoy talking to you.
And by the way, complete surprise ending to the book. So as we said, new research shows there might be a genetic connection, not just to how much people want to eat, but how much of that turns into fat will link you. But does that make this less of a moral issue for you? Do you have thoughts on living with a loved one's obesity? We'd love to hear from you at hearnow.org.
Still ahead today, as Aurora remembers the theater shootings of a year ago, Denver asks, what about other shootings that don't get national attention? News is next, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Diedrichs, with outdoor furniture, dinnerware, and home accessories selected for form, function, and feeling for your home. Diedrichs.com. And MIT, offering the System Design and Management Flexible Master's Program, combining engineering and management for professionals, sdm.mit.edu.